You're listening to the Wizard of Lightbulb Moments, Tom Evans, and his Moments of Light show.
And if this has all worked, I should be speaking now to Lucy Whittington. Good evening, Lucy.
Good evening. Am I with you?
You are. Wow. Well, that, talk about timing. That was well timed.
Wizard of technology as well as light bulb moments.
Brilliant. I know. I've been off air for it with all the bank holidays and everything. I've been off air for about 4 weeks now. So lovely Carl Munson's been holding the fort for me. And you know, it's like I'm in this wonderful interface at the back of Blog Talk Radio, and I've forgotten how all the buttons work. So and then when you weren't here either, I thought, oh, what's happened? But now you're here, so great to talk to you tonight. How's things?
They're very good, actually. Is it wrong to say I'm excited to get back to work without all the bank holidays?
No, but weren't they? They were kind of good, though, weren't they? It was nice to have an enforced break in a way.
It was good. I think it would be nice to space them out, maybe one a month.
Absolutely, yeah. But what, a wedding? Was that a wedding? Or what? We definitely know how to do weddings in this country, that's for sure.
We do. I thought it was very nice.
Wasn't it, indeed? But very inconsiderate of them to just slide it on the back of Easter like that and take things out. And I guess we got another month before yet another bank holiday, and then we have that big gap, don't we?
I know. See, that's what I could do with more bank holidays, when it's properly sunny, although it was gorgeous where I live over the holidays. So very lucky to be able to spend time down at the beach.
Yeah. Well, we're very lucky to have you on air tonight with us, Lucy. And thanks for agreeing to come on the show. And we spoke about sort of November, December last year, didn't we?
Yeah, so it was a while ago now.
And I'm trying to remember the light bulb moment that brought me to you. Maybe it was a connection through, was it Four Networking, something like that?
Book writing and authoring, possibly.
That's it, yeah. And what's kind of interesting about the work you do is how much you inspire others to work to their full potential.
I think that's so important. I hadn't realised how important it was to me, and also then in terms of me helping other people. I mean, I've always been involved in marketing, you know, I've always been a marketeer, and so it's always been about promoting things, you know, products and services, and I'd never really realised that the most important thing is to promote people, because they're the power behind everything.
Yeah, but how did you find out? I mean, obviously what you're doing is you're helping people find their thing, in inverted commas, but how did you find out this was your thing?
Oh, I think first I'd quickly better clarify what thing is, because most people just laugh or look at me like I'm crazy when I say that. But your thing is, different people call it different things, and it's more than a niche, it's more than competence. I'm really obsessed with people doing what they're brilliant at and not just what they're good at. I did what I was good at for a very long time, and you know, I love using the word genius. You know, do what your genius is, and some people call it their, you know, blessing or their gift, or it's that thing that people have within them that is something that they find really easy and really effortless, and so they almost don't see it. Well, quite often they don't see it. You know, it's very easy to assume that everyone else finds this thing easy and effortless too. But it's never the case. It's something that is just your absolute, you know, genius or competence or something that's so amazing and brilliant, but only you can do it in that way. And it's very, very easy to overlook. So obviously, because it's very easy to overlook, I, like most people, had managed to overlook it for a long time. And, you know, my thing is helping people find their thing. So obviously that's a lot of things. But it's really about seeing in people that special, you know, gift they have, doing something in a certain way that only they can do, and getting them to put that into their business or actually turn it into their complete business. For some people I work with, you know, they're now doing something completely different to what they're actually, you know, qualified in or trained in, because they've realised their thing is something else. And so it's really something that I've realised I'm very good at spotting in people and tapping into, and I've developed various methods and you know, ways of working with people to get that out of them, because it's that whole thing of like it's right in front of you and you can't see it. You know, when you have something in a cupboard or something, you go and look for it and it's right there and you've opened the cupboard 10 times and you can't see it. And then someone else opens it and says, it's right there on the middle shelf. Can you not see it?
So what's that process then? How do you find out about, is it a light bulb moment type of process, or is it a more structured methodology to find it out?
I do have processes and kind of questions that I go through. I mean, some of it's down to, you know, me working with people in you know, my intuition and how that comes through. But there are processes and questions, so it's definitely something that, you know, I can share with people. I'm not obviously going to give away all my secrets now, Tom, but but it's you know, there's a series of questions, there's exercises that you can do. It's really about noticing how you feel. That's the most important thing. And again, that's what people overlook. You know, people make themselves very busy doing what they're good at, and again, it's that whole, people think they have to be working really hard. It's you know, the belief system that it's, you know, the harder you work, then the more that is your thing. But actually, the irony is that when something's very easy and effortless for you, that's your thing. So it's really about getting people to look at what they love doing and what they find so easy. And for some people, it's not even what they're doing right now for a job or for work or for their business. It might be an activity they do as part of that, or it might be a way of working. And it's really getting people to reflect on how they feel about certain things that they do, because that's the big difference. The big difference is not doing something just because you're good at it. It's doing something because it just flows from you, really. That's the best way I can describe it.
And how do you know, then, when you're in this flow? What are the signs?
The signs are usually, well, the first one is usually that everything just is very easy. You feel very energized. It's very easy. For me, it was a sign that I wasn't procrastinating. For me, it was a sign that I wasn't putting things off, or the cobbler's shoe syndrome. I could market my business in 1,000 ways. Obviously, I have the knowledge being a marketeer, and yet I'd find myself not doing things, and I would think, why am I not doing? You know, I should be doing PR. I should be doing, you know, more email campaigns. I should be doing, and I would wonder why I wasn't doing things. It's a reluctance. It's all these things. When you're not doing your thing, you find it very easy to make excuses, or everything's really hard. It's a lot of effort. And when you find your thing, you just, it has an energy of its own, really, and it takes over, and you want to do it because it's your thing and you love it so much and it's so easy and effortless. You just want to do it all the time, and it's the thing that you would do all day, every day, even if you weren't getting paid for it. But I don't advocate that, by the way.
Absolutely.
But it is that thing that you just, you know, you would do it all day, every day. And then you start going out of your way to do it all day, every day. And that's when you know, really. It's the difference between kind of, it's not very good for radio, this description, but imagine I'm pulling a really horrible face, okay? That's the face I pull when I have to do my accounts, right? And that's usually the face most people pull when they have to do their marketing. And, you know, the kind of grimace face. Because they know it's something they need to do. You know, most business owners are astute enough to know they need to market and they need to sell what they do, but they probably don't enjoy it, or they think it's a necessary evil, or, you know, they'll harumph about it. And when you find your thing, you can't help but tell people about it, and so your marketing just becomes really easy. And that's the real sign. The real sign is that you find the words, you know how to communicate with people, people understand what you get it, and you start attracting people to you who get what you're doing, and it's just very easy. You have conversation with people, and they totally get it, you totally get it, and you think, why was I not having these conversations before? I always felt like I was selling something.
Hmm. And so you kind of go through a tipping point then, where things were maybe slightly harder than they should have been before, and all of a sudden the right kind of clients turn up just at the right time. Do you find that happens?
Yeah, I do. And also, there's that feeling you wonder where everyone's hiding before. You know, you were in hot pursuit of everyone before, and actually they were just sort of, you know, sat in the cafe around the corner, and you've just been, you know, on 80 days around the world looking for them. And it's just, it's knowing, it's being really confident as well. It's being really confident and knowing exactly what it is that you do, because that's the real key thing. You know, when you find your thing, by definition, it's yours. No one else can have it. And you become instantly unique. I mean, I call it personality selling point. It's a PSP instead of your USP, your unique selling point. It is you. It's about you and how you do things and how you do them that's different. And that's the real key. The minute people see that and then own it, they just find everything much easier to tell people about and to describe what they do. You know, the really key thing for me is they can stop competing on price, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just goes out the window, because if people want to work with you, they want to work with you. They don't, you know, they're not going to work with you because you're £5, £50, you know, £5,000 cheaper than someone else. They want what you've got. They want what you do in the way you do it. And you see this all the time with brands. I mean, when was the last time you quibbled a price of an Apple product? If you want it, you just pay it, right?
Oh, yeah, I've got iPads, I've got iPhones, and I'm sitting there looking at an iMac, so I'm completely appled up at the moment.
Yeah, you don't sit there on price comparison sites seeing what's going to be the cheapest PC or, you know, how much different phones are. You just go in and get your iPhone or your iPad, you know. And that's the kind of product equivalent of being a business celebrity and knowing your thing. You know, Apple know their thing. They have that individuality and, you know, brand presence that just people love it, and they love what it stands for, and they love what it is, and they love what they do. And people don't question the price. You know, people don't walk around the Apple shop going, I could get a Sony one £10 cheaper or something for their MP3 player. They just don't. They just buy an iPod.
Absolutely. So is it possible then, do you just have to find one thing, or can you have a multiple number of things?
If you have a multiple number of things, it's usually a variation on one thing, if that makes sense. So if your real skill is, you know, writing, or your real skill is organizing or managing projects, or whatever your skill is, you'll have variations on that, or it'll be part of an umbrella thing. But most people have lots of things they're good at and then one thing that they're genius at, and that's the real thing you have to watch out for, is that you don't do things you're good at just because you're good at them, because actually someone else will be genius at them. And it's almost, you have to be quite strict with yourself to stop doing. It's a bit like when you start in business. I mean, this happened to me. And most business owners I know, when they start, you kind of say yes to any work that comes along. You know, someone wants you to do something and money can be exchanged. You think, yeah, I can do that. And even if you can't, you outsource it and, you know, take a commission or whatever. And you say yes to things just because you're good at them, not because you're genius at them. And actually, you know, that's never the route to success in terms of business. It's always important to specialize. And it's kind of taking, finding your thing is kind of taking specialism to the next level. It's about saying, actually, this is the one thing that I am genius at, and really standing on that star or in that spotlight and saying, this is what I do. Certainly you can have different ways of delivering that, or, you know, different intensities of it, but it's usually one thing or one skill that you have, rather than a big portfolio, because then you'll possibly be slipping back into what you're good at.
Yeah, so people can become like a busy fool and try and do too many things, and then never quite achieve anything and never find their genius. What are the barriers then to finding your thing? What are the things that, the common things that get in people's way and stop people?
Well, one thing is often not knowing. And the other one is usually kind of knowing but being petrified.
Okay, so it's the fear.
Yeah. So on the one hand, there are people who genuinely, they're almost there. And I'll be honest, I was almost there. It was almost like I was, you know, if being on your dime is the center of a spiral, you know, I was slowly spiraling in until I got there. Mm-hmm. For some people, they're off, you know, in all sorts of directions, trying lots of different things. But some people genuinely need someone to help them, or to take time out, or look at things in a certain way to really see what it is that they're doing. Because it's very easy to be distracted by things like qualifications or the competition. And people always think they need someone else to measure. This is going to sound really dodgy now, to measure their thing for them. Some people, you know, think they need someone else to say, you have this thing, and actually you need to give yourself, you know, permission. You need to give yourself, you know, the name tag or the honor or whatever it is. You know, and I, hands up, was very guilty of this. You know, I've got an MBA, I'm a member of Chartered Institute of Marketing, I've done all these things, and I kept thinking, oh, I need to qualify in this. I need to get someone else to give me permission that I'm this, you know, that I have this skill. And that's something that a lot of people do, is they kind of get dragged away from their thing in sort of pursuit of a qualification. And yet actually they have this innate ability anyway, like this innate skill, and they don't need someone else to label them. It's about having, you know, having the confidence to say, you know what, I am this person, I'm going to do this. And then that's where the fear thing comes in, because a lot of people, you know, it is something that's, you know, has its fear factor, you know, with it, because it's about being visible, and it's about really standing for something. And, you know, many people would prefer to blend in, to just, you know, get on quietly, head down, and not stand out. And, you know, that's fine, but that, if there's something in you and there's something that you should share, I mean, one argument is that by not sharing it, you're actually being selfish, because you've got something amazing to share with other people. And if you're not sharing it, then, you know, there is that take on it that you're actually being selfish and not sharing it. So that's a good way of looking at it from a service point of view. You know, you want to be of service to other people, so actually you need to kind of put your fear aside, because you're not helping the people that you could be helping. And that's quite a good way of viewing it, because then it's no longer about you, it's about other people.
Oh, I so resonate with that. I think I've been through that journey as well, just over the last 12 to 18 months, you know, where I was, I you know, when I was doing my book mentoring service, which I still do, but I do it in a slightly different framework now, which I kind of, I think, confirms what you're saying, is that I'm doing it under the new auspices. So it's not like a diversion, it's just I'm doing it under the new banner. And I ran a script in my head for about 2 years, where the script was this, right? Can I just share this with you, because it shows you how pathetic you can be sometimes. I ran the script in my head as, it doesn't matter if I don't have a bestseller book, so long as one of the people that comes on one of my workshops does, I would have served my purpose, right? Now, if you think about it, that's quite a nice thing to say, isn't it? Yeah?
Absolutely.
Quite a nice thing to say, but completely unserving, because, of course, when I do have a best-selling book, I can be of much better service to other people.
Because they'll all have read it.
They'll all have read it, but also I will know how to do it, not just write the book, but how to then make it become a bestseller. So I changed that script about a year ago, and I said, right, this year I'm going to write a best-selling book, and I wrote it last year, and it's coming out this June. And since I've known it's been coming out, I've just been focusing on being that person behind the book, and the thing is just appearing by magic, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that as a result of doing that, then I'm going to be in a much better position to help and advise other people, not just how to write a book, but how to write that best-selling book and get it out there.
And I think that's something also a lot of people who I work with are very, you know, the phrase that's bandied around is like a heart-centered entrepreneurs. You know, they're people whose job is helping other people. And so, you know, a lot of that is something that people wrestle with. And they're like, well, you know, I would rather be volunteering my time, or, you know, helping people for free, or giving people service. And I always have to kind of go bad cop a little bit when I have clients. And I have to say, well, you know, think about this seriously. Like, if you're earning, you know, £10,000-£20,000 a year and can only just pay your own bills, or you're earning £100,000 a year and you can give 50 of it away if that's what you want to do, you know, what is actually better in terms of you being able to help other people? And you know, a lot of people who are heart-centered don't like to talk about money or don't think that they want to have a lot of money, and yet actually there's more service they can provide and power they can give. It allows them to have more resources to then help other people. And people often don't look at things that way. And that's another thing that, you know, the fear of success is that, well, I don't want to be, you know, that a lot of people have belief that people who have a lot of money are, you know, are bad, or they're, you know, not nice people, or, you know, they're a bit ruthless, or they've had to have done something to have got to where they've got to. You know, they've got there not through being, you know, caring and nice. And that's something that a lot of people, you know, have to understand, is that actually it's still you that you will take with you on that journey. It's just think of what's possible the more visible you are.
Mm, absolutely. But I know with me that I've been financially successful twice in my life, but those two times when I was most stressed, so that I kind of equated in my head stress and success as being equal. And so I spent about 2 or 3 years avoiding success very successfully. That makes sense.
Well done.
I did. I tell you what, I was really good at it as well. That was my thing for two or three years. But
the thing is doing nothing. Right.
Absolutely. Well, actually, just being that heartfelt entrepreneur and helping loads of other people out and not actually getting out there and doing things. And I have to say that since I sort of took this new challenge on board, then what's kind of happened is all the things I was kind of frightened of have appeared in my past, so I can deal with them. For example, I'd never done much public speaking. I'm very happy in doing a workshop in front of 30 or 50 people, but the thought of standing on stage and talking in front of 150, 200 people was just kind of horrified me slightly. And And I got presented with that opportunity in March, and I'm now going like, give me some more, you know, make bigger audiences. And funnily enough, just having gone through that barrier, then a number of speaking gigs have just appeared like magic, which is just great. And I think that's
so funny, because that happened, you know, that's happened to me. You know, it's that whole thing of, like, you know, when you're ready, the universe will send you the stuff that you want. You know, it's like. And it's so true, and it's just that difference between pushing yourself, and we all do this in our lives all the time. You know, there's always something that we're a bit afraid of. We go do it once, and then we have that whole, like, why was I even worrying about that? You know, when you learn to ride a bike, you know, the thought of having no stabilizers was petrifying until you mastered and thought, you know, I remember trying to learn to drive and just, you know, wondering how on earth, like, to negotiate a roundabout. It's just too many things to think about. And now, you know, get in your car and you don't think about it. And all those things that once were frightening. And that's the same thing about doing these things that make you visible. It's kind of, you know, you can build up in your head much, much, much worse case scenarios than that actually happen, which, you know, is true of a lot of things in life, as I'm sure everyone's aware. But what I'm also really keen for people to do is, I don't like to force people to do anything that's not right for them. You know, there's a real difference between being a little bit afraid of doing something and it not being right for you. You know, it's not right for everyone to get up on a stage. For some people, they're better off writing a book or, you know, delivering a series of articles. For some people, they'd rather do audio. I don't like to force people to do anything, because that's also where I've seen people, you know, get lost away from their thing, because a lot of people will follow formulas or say, oh, I have to do this. You know, I've been told if I have a business or if I'm doing marketing, I have to be on social media, I have to be writing articles, I've got to have a blog, I've got to have this. And if it's not right for you and it doesn't come from inside you, the energy is not right and it never works well and it always seems forced. And again, that again is making you very busy and not necessarily productive. So another thing about, you know, being a business celebrity and finding your thing is really finding how you like to communicate and kind of amplifying that into marketing. And that's something I really believe in. You know, you can't force someone who's much better at speaking to be a writer. You know, there are people who will, I know you're not one of them, Tom, and I'm not either, but, you know, but I know some of my clients are, and they'll literally email me and go, I've been sat in front of a blank Word document for the last half an hour. I have no idea what to write. And yet I can get them on the phone and ask them the right questions, record it, and then brilliant content in 20 minutes.
Absolutely. And you'll find also some people might have slightly dyslexic tendencies and are much better in the auditory field than in the written field. And I work with
a lot
of people where...
Yeah, it's kind of expanding that across all your marketing as well. It's like if people don't understand social media, you know, they're a bit more introvert and they would prefer to kind of craft some great articles, then, you know, they don't need to be on Facebook. I mean, marketing today is I mean, it's astounding the amount of things you could do to market your business, but that doesn't mean you should do them all. And at the end of the day, marketing has and always will be about communicating. It's about finding out where your ideal clients hang out and communicating with them. I mean, I just wrote a letter for a client, a direct mail, on paper, in an envelope, put a stamp on it, letter, because for their market, it's a perfect way to communicate. It's, you know, they know where they're going to be 5 days a week. They can write a letter to them that really addresses a problem they have and the solution that they can offer. And that's a really good way for them to communicate. Now, you know, they weren't going to get those people on Twitter. That doesn't work for everyone, but it's, you know, people have kind of gone into overwhelm and panic sometimes about trying to do all these different forms of marketing and trying to be everywhere at once. And actually, really, you only need to do two or three things really well, and that's enough to run any business quite successfully.
No, and I know, well, my other half's a saddler, and she's got a website now, but she's probably the only person I know that's got a sort of six-figure business without any email or website, and it's all done word of mouth, and she just goes around all the stables in the Surrey area, and everyone talks about it in a very nice way, and she's got more business than she can handle. She's niche down.
Yeah, you just want, I mean, that's another sort of facet of being a business celebrity. You know, referrals are probably the best form of marketing you can have, and finding ways to, you know, facilitate that, like social media, like, you know, writing articles, having a blog, being on radio shows, you know, being talked about and being visible are great ways to promote yourself and to share with other people what you do, so that if it, you know, resonates with them or that they find it interesting, they will come and find you. That's the real difference. It's about being visible so people know who you are and what you do, as opposed to, you know, traditional style marketing, which quite often involved a lot of shouting, as I would call it, shouty marketing, you know, buy this, I do this, you know, it's just a nicer way of attracting people to what you do. But, you know, you do have to stand in some kind of spotlight for that to happen. So that is the rub.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't, you know, as I say to people, you know, finding your thing's brilliant, because then you can find out what you're amazing at. And then step two is, now how to tell everyone else that you're amazing, because there's no point being amazing on your own at home.
Absolutely. And actually, the sort of marketing I always find slightly strange is when someone says, this is absolutely brilliant and it's worth $3,000, and by the way, you can buy it today for $10. And that's kind of shouting and then whispering. What's the point of doing that?
It's either one or the other, right? You know, let's be honest.
Isn't it? Yeah. What, is it worth $3,000, in which case I'll pay $3,000? And if not, is it worth $10, in which case, why don't we just call it $10 then?
And that's the other thing. You know, at the end of the day, it's about being authentic. I mean, social media, whether you use it or not for your marketing, has made everything about people again. It's about who people are, you know, people behind the brand. You know, big companies have individuals blogging and on Facebook, you know, there are real people doing these things now. It's not, you know, clever glossy adverts and, you know, faceless logos. It's, you know, real people are behind companies now, and people like that, and they're responding to that. So whether you use social media or not, you at least have to engage with how the world's changed. And the easiest way to do that is to just be you. I mean, I remember even when I started my business, which was 6 years ago last week, actually, I would still kind of not mention that I worked at home, because I was a bit, that doesn't make me sound very professional. And, you know, and I'd go and work in clients' offices and things like that. And now I just think, well, I think it's great that I work at home. You know, the culture's really changed, even in just 6 years, that, you know, people celebrate the fact they work from home. I mean, yeah, it's great. I can go down the beach for a run in the morning, come back, do some work. I mean, when I have to drive somewhere now for a meeting or something like that, I just think, whoa, like, who would want to do this every day? You know, so it's something to be celebrated now, and yet it was something that used to be hidden. And people are recognising that. You know, it's about recognising what's changed in the market. What people want now is just the skill and the people. They don't mind if they're, you know, on a beach in their flip-flops or if they're, you know, in an office block. It's just, can you solve this problem for me? Can you help me move my business forward, or whatever they want done? And, you know, let's do it.
I agree, actually. I was just talking to a new client today in Holland. And she's asked me to do some technical mentoring work on iPhone apps and things like that. And I was talking to her about, one, I've never met my iPhone app developer. I'm very proud proud that I work from home. And three of my clients that I developed apps for last year, I've never met, you know. And and one of the projects was a multi-language iPhone app that works in Russian, German, Spanish and English. And all the translation work was done by people I've never met, and it all just came together. And, you know, how little fuel have we used to do it? We're working very virtually. It's very efficient. It all happened on time and in budget. Everyone's very happy. And I'm actually proud that I'm working from home and that I've not been wasting any time commuting anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, if I want to sit down and have a good idea or go and sit in the garden because it's going to, you know, help me, then I just do. I think that's really important as well, is that people have started to recognise that, you know, I would much rather work with someone who really recognises their own ability and how they like to work and how they can get the best results out of themselves as well.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Everyone can get the best results out of themselves parked in a office chair for 9 hours.
Well, actually, one of the things I do now is if people come over to the house, I make a point of going out for a walk in the lovely Surrey Hills, because obviously one of the things I'm working on is either ideas or inspirations or innovation. And when you get out and walk and you get out in the fresh air, then that's the fuel for inspiration. So my office is this very large area called the Surrey Hills, and I also take out the dogs for the walk as well, and they get involved with the whole process, you know?
Yeah. You'll laugh when I tell you where mine is. Mine's
a swimming
pool.
Oh, fantastic.
I will actually save up things that I haven't got the answer yet. Like, I'll take kind of questions in my head to the swimming pool, knowing that I want an answer for them, knowing that it will come out while I'm swimming, because that's my kind of, you know, that's when I go into my thinking mode. You know, I'm in the water, there's no music, there's no people talking to me, there's, much as I love my children, there's no little children bothering me, you know, it's great time where, and I will actually go kind of knowing, right, I need to get these three things sorted. You know, I might take a client's, you know, problem, or, you know, I'm trying to really nail something for them or something for me or whatever it is that I need to take. I take them to the swimming pool, you know, that's my other office. and I know it always works. Or like you, I'll go for a walk. But I think people, you know, are recognizing that power, and it's about being open to that as well. It's about saying, you know, this is what I do, and this is my process, and this is how I can help you. And understanding that that might be part of your thing as well, is your ability to solve problems or how you think about things and see them in a different way.
Absolutely. Well, you know that water is the conductor of the universal mind stuff. So in some way, what you're doing is connecting with the super consciousness when you go for your swim.
You're trying to tell me I'm a dolphin, aren't you?
Absolutely. And that's why people have bright ideas in showers as well.
Oh, yeah, I do as well. In fact, it would always be when I took a break to the room where I don't like to take the phone. I would quite often have a good idea.
Exactly. Well, funny, I was just about to mention, someone else mentioned that that's when they have good ideas to me. And it's all to do with water, and the air is also then the fuel that fires the inspiration. But listen, we've had a question in from the chat room from Magnus. Magnus is saying that she's, I'm guessing, is it Magnus, a she, he? Hesitate to market my business because I'm just set up a healing practice. Any advice on how to carefully market a sensitive business like that? And I guess then that fear of attracting the kind of, the idea of celebrity to something which is a very soft and gentle business.
I think what has to be really important is to talk about, it's always important to talk about the transformation you give to people, like what people experience before they come to you and what they're experiencing afterwards. And obviously something, you know, very sort of sensitive and soft as that, it's still a big transformation you offer people, and that's really what you need to talk about. You need to talk about, you know, this is for you if, you know, and talk about, you know, feeling this or this isn't working or, you know, want this to be solved. And then you talk about how people are going to feel afterwards. And it's very much about owning something that you do that is extra to the service you provide. So, you know, for example, you have to kind of, if you've learned, you know, if you're a Reiki healer or something like that, and this is something, you know, it's a skill that you've learned and there are lots of other people who practice this particular skill, you need to add in something of your own. So whether it's, you know, I have my own, you know, three-step process that I'll follow before I start transformation. I always work with people in this way, or you have a certain environment or something that you bring that is uniquely yours that you do. Now, again, this, if this is your thing, there'll be something that you're probably doing that's unconscious to you that you just do it. So you kind of have to observe yourself and say, right, what do I do when I meet someone? How do I treat them? What do I ask them? How do I reassure them? What do I do with them? Because that's going to be all your things that you do that are different to other people. And you probably do them naturally. You probably don't notice them. So you almost have to kind of, you know, analyze yourself. It might even that you have to get someone else who you know to sort of come in and go through the process with you. And they'll sort of notice it a lot more than you will. Because there's going to be ways to do things that are different. And it's about adding a little stamp of you onto something. And then really talking about the results that you deliver. And then adding in that you then have, you know, your extra special thing that goes on top, your cherry that goes on the top that they can't get from anyone else.
Hmm. And I guess, you know, we've got 6-7 billion people on the planet now, and what's quite interesting is that we've all got a different DNA pattern, and we've all got a different thing, haven't we? We've all got something we bring to the party.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, it's. I think I used a religious analogy. I was talking to a client this morning, and I was talking about how, you know, a lot of people worry that people think, well, oh, loads of other people do this, or who am I to say? Well, I'll be very honest with you. There are thousands of marketing consultants out there, and, you know, I've decided that my difference is that I help people become business celebrities. I help them find their thing, and that's something different to, you know, the thousand other marketing consultants down the road. But it's about people wanting to hear your knowledge or experience your service in the way that you do it. And the example I gave earlier is that, you know, if you went to listen to a different vicar or priest or, you know, rabbi or whatever every week around the country, they're all teaching from the, you know, all the, you know, all the Christians will be teaching from the Bible, etc. They're all teaching from the same source of information, and yet they'll all be delivering different styles of sermon and different content and different messages. And you're going to like hearing that more from one of them or two of them. And it's the same if you have a skill or you offer a service. It's about very clearly stating how you do things. You know, people come to me because somewhere inside of them they're thinking, I kind of want to be a bit bigger than I am right now. Even if it petrifies me, I kind of know that I kind of need to step into my spotlight, but, you know, I don't really know how to do it, or I don't know what to do. So by talking about being a business celebrity, I attract those types of people. And yet, you know, marketing down the road might talk about the great online marketing they do, or they might talk about how, you know, you want to be on billboards and things like that. So it's about really being very clear about your approach and your voice, because that's what people are buying. That, you know, a lot of the things that people teach or sell or share, let's be honest, you can find out what it is and how to do it on the internet in most cases. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I could perform brain surgery tomorrow, but I'm sure I could find a ton of information about it on a website, right? But people are going to buy it from you because they like the way that you package it, present it, share it, deliver it, you know. And that's really what you're selling, is you're selling your way of doing something. Now, obviously, you do have to be qualified. I'd just like to hasten to add, if you are a brain surgeon. But, you know, like, you know, for a lot of people, it's about really standing up and saying, this is the way I do this. And that's actually what you're strong about.
I actually, completely coincidentally, I've done quite a lot of non-invasive brain surgery recently. So maybe you don't have to have a scalpel, but I've certainly done a lot of changing of minds recently. And one of the things that happens nowadays when you get someone to think in a new way, as you do indeed when you're doing your work, you get people to think in a new way, then the brain instantly rewires using a feature called neuroplasticity. And that whole shift that you make, and I know that I made after I spoke to you, was just that shift to thinking, you know what, I could do that. I could be that person. I could play that role. And it only needs a very small shift in thinking.
And that's it. This is the thing. I'm not asking people to, like, you know, go and attend a premiere or, you know, sing the national anthem in front of, you know, 50,000 people. It's about being a celebrity on your terms. That's really important as well. It's kind of like being that best dressed, you know, ultimate version of you. It's still you. You know, I don't ask people to be something that they're not. But, you know, there's the me that, you know, is at home with my little kids and I'm running around. And I'll be honest, I'm not in my heels and my nice dress when I'm doing that. But, you know, when I'm on stage talking to people or I'm presenting a workshop, then, you know, that's my kind of, you know, Sunday best version of me, if you like. But it's still me. That's what I'm kind of, you know, that's what I'm really encouraging people to be more of all the time. It's that version of them that they know they can be sometimes, and it's about being it, or at least thinking it and projecting it all the time.
And how important is it to have kind of different versions of you? I mean, insofar as, you know, you've got that person that is on stage or perhaps doing a one-to-one healing or intervention with somebody.
Yeah.
But is it also important to have lots of, you know, products at different price points, you know, ranging from the free ebook to the book to the online workshop to the teleseminar? Do you think that's important to have this sort of portfolio?
I do. I'm going to kind of answer that question in two ways, because one of it was about different versions of you, and I just want to quickly say there should only be one version of you. Someone was asking a question the other day about, you know, what's your online persona? And I was just like, huh? I haven't got time to have another persona. I'm just me. I'm me when I turn up. And I think that's really important, because I'm absolutely 100% about being, you know, authentic and real and aligned with, you know, who you are and your values. So that's really important. But what is also what you're asking is if there's kind of different levels of access to you.
And yes, that's what I meant, really. Yeah.
That's really important. That's really important mostly for you, for your time and for growing your business. I mean, you can't be everywhere with everyone at once. Now, that's not to say you can, you know, if people just choose to want to do one-to-one work, that's great. That just means putting your prices up, usually quite a lot. So, you know, if that's something that you don't want to do, or you feel that your market can't always, you know, pay for you at that level, then, you know, that's how you can get access to you at different levels. And, you know, some people need to get a flavour of you, which is very appropriate.
Yes.
You know, and some people need to just have the one-to-one. And it's good to have different levels. And I don't like to think of things in the tradition. You know, there's a traditional funnel in marketing where, you know, you get people in on a free thing and then they buy your £10 book and then they're on the £50 thing and then it's not, you know, it's good to have different levels of access to you, but you should think of them as literally, you know, being different doors that people can go in. And if someone wants to come in and just work on a VIP level with you, you know, paying thousands of pounds, that could be the first interaction they have with you. That's fine. And I've had clients do that, you know, and yet you've got other people who, you know, they'll maybe come on a workshop or come and hear you speak, and that's enough for them to get to their next stage. It's just important to have different ways of different people accessing you that don't always involve you being there. So, or you can work one to many. And that really is just actually about valuing your celebrity or valuing your thing, because you have something that is of value and it can make a big difference to people. And it's about really saying, oh, actually, this, you know, I know the results this brings, and, you know, for me to devote my energy to it. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I always put all my energies into when I work with someone, and I can't do that all day, every day, nonstop. I have to you know, have some time out, I have to go swimming, you know, and I have to, you know, have ways that people can get hold of me, you know, maybe when I'm asleep or when I'm away and things like that. So I do think it's important to have different ways for people to interact with you. Not just because, as well, people like to learn in different ways. You know, like we've said already, some people like to watch, some people like to listen, some people like to read. And for some people, that's enough. And for some people, they literally want someone there in front of them, you know, helping them.
And from my perspective as a writer as well, I find that I just can't write in isolation. I need the client interaction to come up with the kind of the experience and knowledge to write the next thing. So it's kind of important. Everything I write about has been tested out with real people.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, if you don't ask your customers what they want, then you don't know. So, you know, that's really great. And some people, you know, actually use that as a way of developing their thing, and what they do, it's great. You know, you can think that your thing is, you know, one focus, but actually if people keep asking you for something else, or they say, oh, I really liked that part of what you taught, and you're like, really? That was kind of just like an aside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, hold on a minute, I didn't realize that was the core part of my thing. Because that's what can happen sometimes is, you know, you find your thing, you go out and share it. And that actually happened to me. I started doing, you know, being a business celebrity, which was really about, you know, how to own, you know, what you do and kind of get yourself noticed and ways of doing that. And what I was realizing is I was going to events and I was speaking to people, and there's no point giving people tons of marketing tactics and ideas and helping them find their, you know, authentic ways to communicate if they haven't found their thing first, because then they got nothing to hang it on. And I would see people all the time. I know you'd see people at seminars and then at the same seminars, and then coming, I'd see them somewhere else, and I think, why? Well, you know, they're still gathering information, they're still not taking action, and I'd think, oh yeah, I've been there. I've been there with my big seminar folders on my bookshelf that I've not followed up. And, you know, it's because they hadn't found their thing yet and they had nothing to hang it on. And so I thought, okay, actually that's what I need to do is, you know, what I used to do is kind of like just the initial part of when I worked with someone, I realized was actually something really important on its own. So I actually now do a Find Your Thing program just on its own. Because for me, if you haven't worked that out, you can have all the marketing advice in the world, but you either won't do it or you'll do it and your heart won't be in it.
So how can people find their thing with you, Lucy? How does that work? What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, I'll get out my magnifying glass. No. They can actually find their thing. I do actually have a program. If they want to have a chat with me, I offer a free spotlight call, and that's actually how we first connected, I think. So if you go to beingabusinesscelebrity.com, in the bottom left-hand side of the website, on the homepage, there's a apply now for a spotlight call. But I also have something very exciting that I've been working on. I'm actually doing a free call where I am going to share some of my secrets. And I'm doing that on the 25th of May. And if people go to yourstarvalue.com, there is a page there where they can sign up to get the access details to that call. And if they can't make it, it's going to be in the evening, but if they can't make it, they can get an MP3. And I'm actually going to go through the exact 5-step process that I use when I work with clients. Obviously not in complete detail in a whole hour, but there's going to be enough there to take away to use it in their own business. And I'm going to talk about why having a name tag is really important. And I'm going to talk about, I'm going to share actually one of the exercises I use in my workshops and with my clients that really helps you find out what you're brilliant at. It's quite a fun one. And share that on the call as well. So that's something, if people want to do a little bit of work and have a bit of an understanding of how to go about finding their thing, then that's a free call I'm doing at yourstarvalue.com.
I've just put both of those in the chat room, and that's the Wednesday, the 25th of May, 8 p.m. GMT, 12 p.m. PST, 3 p.m. EST. That's absolutely free, yeah?
Yes, that's absolutely free. I mean, you'll have to dial in. I think it's 1.7p a minute. And if you don't catch it, then you'll get an MP3. So obviously you can just chuck that on your iPod or listen online if you want to afterwards. So that's no charge at all. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'm really committed to sharing with people how to do this, because I've seen the massive impact it has. I mean, I've had clients who've literally gone from an idea. I had one client who I actually spoke to today, who I originally started working with a couple of weeks ago, who had a bit of an idea, had kind of road tested it, and had an interview in 3 days' time where he had the potential to talk about what he did and what he could offer, and yet he still hadn't quite nailed his thing. And, you know, straight away it was what it looked like, what it was called, how it could be sold, how it was done, and yeah, and he's racing right now, which is amazing. And that's the other thing. Most people are usually, like, so close to it. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's kind of like that hair's breadth away, and it's almost there, but it's until it's nailed, until it's right there, and you can say what it is, and you can totally own it, it's just, it may as well not be there, really, if I'm blunt, because you haven't got something you can act on. And it's so important to take time out to really nail it, because otherwise you'll do what I used to do, which is, you know, work hard and be pushing all the time and be struggling and, you know, not really know what it was that I did that was different.
Gotcha. Well, that sounds like a great service, and I can't believe you're giving that away for free, that call. That's a fantastic opportunity for everybody. And also that your 30-minute offer as well of an exploratory track, I think it's just incredibly generous of you. But I guess you find that works as well. It's a great way of you finding out whether you can help someone or work with somebody.
Because that's something everyone should realise as well, is, you know, I can't help everyone, I can't work with everyone. You know, it's important to work with people who know that they've got this bigger, you know, dream or something that they want to bring out. You know, this is really important. Someone actually asked me the other day, they were saying, you know, who is your ideal client? And I actually said to them, it's someone who's willing. And I hadn't really thought about it like that before, but it really is, it's someone who, I don't mind if people are scared, that's fine, that's completely normal. You know, I don't mind if they don't know where to start, what to do. That's also absolutely fine and quite typical. But I just need people to be willing. You know, if you've got a business and you're willing to do something different, to take it to where you want to take it, then that to me is the most important criteria. If you're not willing, I can't help you. And I have to be very honest about that.
Yeah, so what's the... Is there just one sort of niggle that might just stop all this working? And this idea of becoming a business celebrity, and then this thing called the ego growing and getting too big for your boots, is that something you've come across? Do you have any clients that sort of kind of lost it a little bit?
I think it's easy to get distracted. I haven't had any clients lose it. I haven't. Charlie Sheen is not my client. But I think it's easy to get distracted. I mean, it's certainly easy to kind of go for, you know, what I call shiny object syndrome, which is, you know, get distracted about helping people. I mean, some people can be distracted with too much, you know, taking themselves out of the process. And you know, maybe not enough actual helping people. It's important to have ways that you can actually work with people and not just talk about what you do all the time. And that's something that's really key. But the best thing, I think we touched on it earlier, is that if you constantly, you know, like if you're in a situation where you're not interacting with your clients all the time, you're not getting constant feedback, you're not asking them what they need next or, you know, what they want you to focus on, then there is a danger then that you can kind of go off on your own little tangent. And it's a bit like, you know, real celebrities. When some celebrities become celebrities for the sake of being a celebrity and no one can actually remember why they're a celebrity in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a business celebrity, it's because you have a great skill or a great gift that you share in a business where, you know, people pay you to deliver that. And, you know, it might be that you become very successful and you train other people in your method, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, if you get to the point where you're so far removed from the coalface that you don't actually know what people want, then that to me would be kind of where the ego would get in the way. I'm not going to mention any names. But there are people out there who are just, you know, they're business commentators, and you think, when was the last time you tried to run a business?
And do you find that you're working, you know, you help people find their thing, but actually you do actually mm-hmm. work with them then throughout their new career to sort of...
Absolutely. I mean, for some people finding their thing is enough, then they're off, you know, that's the rocket fuel they need and then they're off. Mm-hmm. Other people, I work with them, I've got a... I must sound like a, you know... One of my more invigorating swimming sessions where I came up with my Get Your Party Started program, but that helps people find their thing and then set out an action plan of how to then deliver it. And then mm-hmm. I have other clients I work with, you know, on an ongoing mentoring basis where it's literally, okay, we found your thing, this is how we're going to work it out, this is when we're going to deliver the action plan. Because I know personally, I mean, I've worked with business mentors and I know the power of accountability and being kept on track. And it is easy to get distracted and it is easy to, you know, slip back into hiding your light under your bushel and all that. And, you know, if you really want to commit to something and really want to do something, then, you know, you do, as you know, with mentoring, you know, you do need sometimes a constant hand-holding / butt-kicking. And,
sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Because... you know, people, again, it's that whole thing of like, they, you know, they should be sharing what they do. And it's really great when I know I can make that happen. So that's how I prefer to work with people, because I know that finding your thing is kind of like, you know, hooray, step one, you know, we've found the right path and, you know, we've still got to make our way up the mountain. And it's nice to have someone along, just, you know, even if it's just as a guide or a chat or encouragement. Everyone likes having a cheerleader.
Absolutely. Well, you reminded me that we're long overdue to have another chat about the next stage on my journey, actually, Lucy. So yeah. Can you set that up over the next week or so?
Can set that up. Look at that. I'm taking orders on the phone front.
Absolutely. Things are coming up very imminently for me over the next month or so. And, you know, I've kind of forgotten how long ago I laid the seeds, but they're really germinating now and just about to go up to another level. And I wouldn't mind just... updating on where I'm at, and I can just vouch for your service, because I think that when we had that call before Christmas, that was the real catalyst for me to really ramp up my ideas and think at another level and go from just being this sort of quiet author in the corner writing some interesting stuff to being a potential business celebrity. And actually one of the things that came from this was me bumping into Carl Munson earlier in the year. I thought, oh, well, I must have a radio show. Wouldn't it be nice to call it the Moments of Light show? And here we are on it right now.
Well, there you go. I create my own opportunities. But that's the thing.
Yeah,
you know, you do create your own opportunities, and that's what people forget. And sometimes it's just giving yourself that little kind of shove, or as I think I have described myself as this, which is quite embarrassing, but I've described myself before as the pushy stage mum. You know, I'm the like, you kind of know you want to be on the stage, but I'm the one in the wings who just kind of shoves you on.
we all need one of those. Listen, we're just coming to the end of the show, and I thought well thank you so much for a really amazing chat, Lucy. It's always good to talk to you, and I said we must talk offline pretty soon. I thought I'd let everyone know that next week we've got another fascinating guest, a chap called Steve Taylor, who's written some amazing books about awakening. And actually, Steve's a good testament to this whole thing, because what happens when you step up to being a celebrity, you start to meet loads of other celebrities. And what you find out is that there's a huge community out there of people that want to help you and support you. So you're not alone. You're not sort of sitting alone in your garret writing. And I met Steve through the books I wrote, and I'm now helping him through the books he wrote, and he's helping me with my books. And what goes around kind of comes around. So thank you so much, Lucy. It's been a fantastic chat. We're going to wind up now and speak to everyone next week. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.